joining us now, James Empey, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. James, how are you?
Hey, James.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Man, it's good to chat with you again. Off to Louisiana. What were the thoughts on the team with the announcement of where you were going and who you're going to play?
I think everybody was excited, man. Just looking at the team, we're going to play UAB. I've seen a few of their games this year, and, you know, I think they're a good opponent. And defensively, you know, I think they got some really good players on their defense. And, you know, I think there'll be some challenges along the line, and that's all you can ask for and another chance to play. So, you know, I'm excited for the guys. I'm excited to get down to Louisiana and have some fun with everybody one last time.
You know, I was a little bit disappointed with the nomination. I wanted to see something better than Alabama-Birmingham. I think a lot of BYU fans were hoping for it and expecting it, but it sounds like you guys are cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways things could have gone, and you know, we were in a point where, you know, we had a chance. You know, a lot of things had to happen for us to, you know, kind of get a better bid and all that kind of stuff and play on New Year's and all that. But in the other day, you know, we had our chances and we've had a heck of a season, and we have one more chance to play together. And, you know, that's all we can ask for. So, I think most guys, although, you know, there was wishes for more. There's always, you know, you always want a little bit more, but I think everybody's excited for this opportunity. And, you know, the fact that we even have one's awesome. So, I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And like I was saying, I think UAB is a good opponent, and I don't think they deserve to be overlooked one bit. They're a good opponent, and they got a great defense, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
You know, one thing, you know, you guys have played a wide variety of opponents this year, from, you know, upper echelon Pac-12 teams to you know, Baylor, who ended up winning the Big 12, to Idaho State. I mean, you've been all over the place in terms of that schedule. And one thing, for the most part, I think you guys have done a good job of making sure that you've respected your opponent, that you play to your level, not necessarily their level. And more often than not, that it's worked out well for you guys. Is that the same kind of approach you have going into a game like this?
Yeah. You have to respect the game of football. And especially, I mean, this year especially, I think everybody can learn that, you know, nobody's safe any week. You got to bring your best game every week. There's been so many upsets this year, so many different things, and you really got to bring it every week, and you got to respect the game, and you got to respect your opponent. And that's, you know, that's been our focus throughout the season, is just soft and respecting the process in terms of practice and preparation, and then, you know, being ready to go in the games. And it's been fun, man. We've been able to put two solid years together. You know, if we finish right, we can kind of have, you know, a great 2 year spread here. That's been a whole lot of fun. So we have a lot to play for still. And, you know, just, I mean, besides all the rest of the stuff, we just got one more game to play with each other. And that's all you can ask for, man. So we're excited.
James, any more big decisions on your future and some of your decisions, or are you still in that process of making those decisions?
Yeah, me and my wife are still in the process. We're working together. You know, it's kind of fun to go through it as a team, me and her. And yeah, we're still in the middle of everything and working through it.
And you don't have to go through names or anything like this, but I'm always curious, you know, in this day and age of college football, well, college athletics, with the transfer portal and the one free transfer, do you hear guys talk a little bit in the locker room about maybe moving on or looking somewhere else? And are other guys like, hey, man, you need to stay here and let's keep this going and keep it rolling going into next season? Do those conversations, do you hear those in the locker room at all?
You know, most of the time those conversations are between kind of that player and that, you know, the player's family and the coaches and all that stuff. There's not usually a whole lot of talk about it. But in the end, and we kind of talked about this the other week, in the end, as a teammate and as a friend, all you can ask for is that dude to do what's best for himself. You know what I mean? You can't ask for anything more. And, you know, you wish everybody the best. If somebody's not happy or there's opportunities elsewhere, you got to let them go for it. And And, you know, that I think the one time transfer thing is cool, and people want to come here, and people here, you know, might have better chances other places, better situations, and it's cool that they were able to give that rule. In terms of talking about it, it's, most of the time I think it's more of like a personal thing, but, you know, anybody that, you know, chooses to transfer, you know, I wish them all the best and hope they find the situation they're looking for.
You know, James, going back to your dad's day at BYU and not quite as far back to my day at BYU, we would get transfers in, but it wasn't so much transfers from Alabama or Oregon or, you know, guys that feel jilted or aren't getting enough play time and coming from the bigger programs. Most of it was JUCO transfers. A lot of it was Rick's College. They actually ended up canceling Rick's sporting events, I think, like my sophomore or junior year while I was in college, so we didn't get many. But we had a few come in, and when they would come in, the transfers that would come in, we'd all put a target on them because it was our buddies. It was the guys that we'd been there with for the 2-3 years and guys that came in as freshmen that were fighting for those positions. And these big recruits would come in as transfers, and we'd say, no, they're not going to take our job. No, they're not going to take your job. And, you know, we would fight our butts off to keep our jobs. Is it the same way with the transfers today? Is it when you get a high-level transfer that comes in that's a big name from maybe a big program where you're kind of looking around like, yeah, well, this guy's going to earn it because he's not taking my job. Is there still that mentality, that attitude?
Yeah, and I think that goes, you know, even with the people here, you know, there's always the attitude of, you know, wanting to earn that spot and take that spot. And when new people come in, it just adds to the competition. And, you know, I think that helps raise the level of play, to be honest. When there's competition and when there's people who are competing with each other for those spots and kind of fighting for those spots, I think it raises the level of play. And so you kind of need that on the team. When it gets bad is when you have guys that are, you know, kind of fighting for that spot and are competitive, but then are also kind of, you know, kind of selfish and have bad attitudes and stuff like that when things don't go their way or you know, between, you know, it could be a variety of different things. So that's kind of when you get the bad kind of mojo and the bad chemistry. But for the most part on our team, we have guys that accept the challenge and kind of, you know, love the process, love the challenge and kind of attack that as a, hey man, like, you know, the best player is going to play and I'm going to work my butt off. So that's me. And if it's not, then I'm going to keep working and keep pushing until, you know, I get my chance. And I think that's what's cool. And that's kind of what you're striving for in terms of, you know, the culture is to still have everybody be teammates, even though you're and friends and buddies, even though you're all fighting for the same playing time and the same spots. And you know, I think the culture has done a good job of like, you know, the coaches have done a good job of building the culture and kind of building it up to where kind of we have that right now. And we don't have a lot of those, the negative things that come from that competition. We got a lot of the positive things that come from that competition.
Hey, James, in your time playing through, you know, different ranks, maybe even going back to Little League, but through high school, through college and what you've seen done, I don't want you to specify anything because I don't want you to hang anybody out to dry, but have you played in any programs or any systems where you have seen politics play a role and maybe the best guy didn't play, or have you always been around where the best guy did get the shot?
You know, I mean, thankfully I've always been in a place where the best guy gets the shot and, you know, just all growing up and everything, I've always been somewhere where the best player plays and, I've really appreciated that. And when everybody kind of buys into that system on a team, including parents and including friends, you know, that are watching their team, when everybody kind of buys into the fact that, you know, they got to trust each other. They got to trust the coach. They got to trust what's going on. They got to trust that whoever's in is the best player at that time. When you kind of have that, you can build some special teams and, you know, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, so fortunately I haven't been in those places, but I have heard stories of some politics and stuff. And, you know, when you kind of hear some of those stories of the politics, you're kind of hearing it from the side that didn't benefit, you know what I mean? So you kind of got to take everything with a grain of salt, but, luckily I've been in places where the coaches have been just so great and have, built systems where the best player plays and they've, you know, played younger people. They've played you know, older people, they played everybody, just whoever was best played. And that's where you get the best teams. And that's, you know, kind of where you all build off each other.
You mentioned sometimes in a locker room when a player or two may have maybe not a great attitude or a negative attitude. The other day, I do the games for Utah State, but Blake Anderson, the coach up there, and I'm sure this has been around forever, and I don't know if it originated with him or if he just took the line from somebody else, but he said, coaches can lead a good team, but players lead a great team. And I've always kind of been curious about that. If there is maybe an attitude or something that may not be great from a player, or some guy may not be aligned, does that need to be regulated inside the locker room more than necessarily from the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, the coach can only do so much, and that's kind of what that quote is saying. You know, a coach can only bring so much to the table. He can only do so much, but the players have to buy in, and there has to be, you know, leadership and examples and people doing the right things, and that's kind of what that's referring to. And so, yeah, I mean, when there's stuff like that, I don't know if it gets regulated. There's no code reds or anything
that. Yeah, maybe that's not the best word to use, I guess. Sorry.
But, yeah, there's no code reds, you know, stuff like that. But there's, you know, guys that have bad attitudes, they just don't last long in a culture built with mostly guys with good attitudes, you know what I mean? And the guys doing the right things. Those guys with bad attitudes doing the wrong things, they don't last long in a system like that. And whether they, you know, have to leave or whether they just buy in and get on board, you know what I mean? That negative attitude doesn't last long. And so if you got players that are bought in, like the coach can only do so much, and then you have players that are bought in, and, you know, the older players, the leaders, even the younger players that come in, if they buy in right away, that's where you get those great teams, because you got people doing the right thing all the time, and you always have an example you can see. You know, and work towards, and so that's definitely true in an organization. I love that quote.
James, in your years at BYU, have you had a guy come into the program that's just a bad apple, and you guys have to go to him and say, "Hey, stop it"?
Yeah, you know, there's been bad apples, and they kind of just like I was saying earlier, they don't last long, or they change their attitude, and most of the time, thankfully, that the attitude gets changed and it turns around and they become, you know, a great teammate and a great member of the team. You know what I mean? More often than not, especially when you have a group of guys that are kind of leading the way like that.
So you not only a great player and you love all things BYU, but this is something that I try to tell people, and I don't know if it really hits home, because the fan bases here in the state of Utah hate each other so much, and there's a lot of, like, anger and animosity for the most part. You know, some people get along, and that's great, and we love that, but, you know, there can be a high level of disdain between the fan bases. But you love good football, and I got to imagine over the weekend you probably enjoyed seeing Utah win a Pac-12 championship. You probably enjoyed watching Utah State win a Mountain West Conference championship. You played against those guys. You know those guys. You probably have, you know, high school or, you know, teammates that you know playing on some of those teams. What were those emotions like for you?
Yeah, like you were saying, there's teammates and friends everywhere throughout the state, you know, and all those and buddies and all that stuff at these other teams. And you know, I was recruited by both schools. I committed to the U, decided to come to BYU, right? There's a lot of things that I like about the programs in throughout the state. And, you know, in my heart, there's not a whole lot of animosity there between teams. Yeah, there's rivalries and you want to beat each other, but I want to see everybody do well, because it makes everybody look good. And, you know, in the state of Utah, and seeing Utah State have a huge win over San Diego State, man, they really put it to those guys. And, you know, just seeing them go at it, that was, you know, that was a blast. And seeing Utah beat Oregon for a second time the way they did, geez, man, those guys are playing good ball right now, and they've been through so much. So, yeah, love seeing those guys do good. And, you know, in return, it makes us look good. It makes the whole state look good. And, it, you know, especially, you know, after the season that we've had also. So, you know, love seeing those guys do well. Love seeing them just hammer people. And I'm excited to, you know, keep watching them.
So do you have your itinerary for Shreveport? What does the schedule look like?
We should have it later today, man. And you know how bowl games are handled. They're a whole lot of fun. So, you know, it's really a reward at the end of the season. You know, first of all, you get a chance to go compete one last time. with your teammates, and you know that's the biggest thing. But you get to go, you know, you get to go somewhere else. There's fun activities. There's fun things going on. It's really just a fun reward for the players and coaches and their families and staff. And so, you know, hopefully we'll have the itinerary later today. I know they're working hard on it because it's one of the earlier bowl games, so those guys have to kind of get everything nailed down pretty quick. And like I said, all year, our support staff and everybody working so hard is second to none. They do such a great job. And, you know, I'm excited for this last one. But it sounds like about mid next week, we'll head down to Louisiana and there'll probably be a few practices down there and we'll have some fun.
I know you and your wife, you like to cook and you like to enjoy different kinds of foods, a little Southern food. Nothing wrong
with
that.
That's not going to suck.
You'll enjoy that.
Yeah, that'll be a whole lot of fun. My grandma, she's actually from Louisiana, and so it'll be fun to get down there and learn a little bit of what she grew up with.
Nice. And the other thing, too, is you get into these games sometimes and you see some teams – traditionally perform really well in bowl games. Kalani Sitake seems like that's something that is important because there's some teams that enjoy it and realize, okay, you know, the season's over and we're going to go through the motions and enjoy it. And if we win, great. If not, you know, so be it. But at BYU under Kalani, it seems like it's been really, really important to perform well. And you guys treat it like a business trip. What's the message to a team when it's not a playoff? It's not a, you know, there's not a lot to be earned in terms of, you know, of championships and things like that. It can be some people treat it like a glorified exhibition game, but it still is a game. It still is pride and it still is a lot on the line. So how do you guys treat that game?
Yeah, you treat it just like another game. And yes, it's a reward kind of like what I just talked about, but in terms of game preparation, you got to approach it just like another game and be ready to play. I mean, we're playing for a lot. We're playing for, you know, an exclamation point on the end of the season that we've had. We're playing for, you know, an 11th win. That's huge. We're playing for each other. And so you kind of just got to approach the game like another game. And you have a little bit more time to prepare and you get to just kind of nail everything down and go to work in a really fun, you know, environment and a fun game. So you approach it the same, you prepare the same. You know, you wouldn't be respecting the game if you didn't give it your utmost attention, but you get to have a little fun, you know, along with it.
Yeah, because you were mentioning Alabama-Birmingham. You said that you've seen a few of their games. And, you know, as I said, it's not the opponent that I would have hoped for, but still it's an opponent that you're going to have to prepare for. You go out and mess around, they'll come out and get you a punch in the mouth, and you don't want that to happen. So what have you seen from Alabama-Birmingham? What type of game should – we all expect, James?
Well, their defense does a really good job, especially against the run. I think they're one of the top-ranked run defenses in the country. They do a great job, you know, defending the run and playing a physical style of defense. I think they have a couple D linemen that are really good that'll, you know, give excellent matchups for our guys and a good challenge. And just all together, I think they play hard and they play as a team and they've had a great season themselves. So, you know, they do a lot of good things, and they're a physical group, and, you know, it'll be a fun challenge.
Well, hey, we appreciate it. As always, fun conversation. Appreciate you pulling back the curtain and letting us behind the scenes a little bit. This was a lot of fun, and good luck in Shreveport, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
James Empey right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.